Welcome back to this episode of the Your Daily Pass podcast.
You're here with your co-hosts, Fiona Daly and Courtney Passfield.
We are bringing back another beautiful, raw and authentic, unedited conversation for you guys to listen to.
So enjoy. Hey, everybody. My name is Dr. Sandrea Nelson Moon. I am so excited to be on this podcast today. I just wanted to say, guys, join us as we talk about trauma. We talk about how to get out of it. We talk about so many little things, as well as my story, rape, molestation, abduction. So jump on. We're going to go into some details. We'll see you there.
Alrighty, we are back with another conversation.
We are.
We love a good conversation. And I think this one's going to be very educational for us all too. And I think, you know, working on really widening the community and knowledge base in that community, I think is just something that's so very important.
Absolutely.
So I do want to kick off before we really get into this and pop a little trigger warning in here.
Yeah.
Today we're talking about the stigma around having to be quiet after traumas. So whether that be molestation, rape, abduction, you know, any of these horrible traumas that do come and do still happen, and something that we are, you know, wanting to work together as a community to understand and to be there for the people that have gone through these traumas. But I do just want to pop a little trigger warning at the start of this episode to know that that is a conversation that will come up for you today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we are going to welcome our guest here today. So Sandrea Nelson Moon is here to have a beautiful conversation with us. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me, guys. I'm excited about this.
We are so excited to have you. Thank you so much. And you are coming from us live from New York City, so that's pretty cool.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie. So, look, let's kick off to start with. Tell us mm-hmm. about your journey and what got you into this field of really helping people.
So my story began, I grew up in the Caribbean. I'm born and raised from Kingston, Jamaica. So I started there, you know, real fun, you know, age group at nine, grew up on a farm, right in the middle of the city, which was weird, but my grandfather had a cute little farm in the city. And around nine, I was molested. I wasn't sure who it was, but when that happened, you know, it kind of freaked me out. Grew up in one of those families that's pretty Christian and, you know, couldn't have certain conversations as a child. You weren't allowed to, you know, talk about certain things. It would tell you it's inappropriate for children to be in the midst of or say or have certain conversations. So I kind of kept it to myself for a while. And I think going into, you know, by the time I got into my teens, maybe 12 or so, that kind of stopped. Because at that point, it was just me, people getting, just touching me. I went into this, like I said, this scared place. And I didn't realize I was becoming something else. I was one thing. One day, you know, to everyone and by myself, I was, you know, falling apart kind of. And I realized I started writing that. I used to have this little book that I would write my feelings in because I couldn't tell anybody. So I wrote them in that book and then I would hide it in this hole in the ceiling that was in that house. And, you know, kind of transition, bury the pain somewhat, as if everything was fine, because it became the norm for me now to be, you know, crying by myself. And then with everybody else, I'm fine, right? So I get to my teens, kind of slows down. I guess I got too old for the person, I don't know. But at 16, I was coming home after going, I normally just go, you know, to the library on the Saturdays. And I was hanging out with someone I was, you know, like, you know, some guy that I liked, some little boy that my cousin went to school with. We know we were friends or whatever. And we were hanging out and it got, you know, it was getting maybe about 5 o'clock or so. And I said, let me go home. Right. To get home from his direction, I had to take two buses. So I got off the first bus to get to my second one. And walking, you know, where I was in the middle of the city, you know, the shopping center type of areas. People were shopping and, you know, selling stuff on the sides of the street. So I saw some stuff that I liked. And I was just perusing, you know, looking. And a guy says to me, hey, I like the shirt. I was going to buy it. And then he says, oh, I don't have your size here. Come with me. I'll get you your size. I went with him and got abducted. And that's kind of where my story began. I got abducted. I was for hours, brutally raped. And after he raped me, one guy was outside the door and he was inside with me. And after raping me, telling me to wash off that whole nine, then he asked me to be his girlfriend. So I spent, when that moment happened, of course you were like, you know, I'm like, what the hell did you just say? That doesn't make sense, you know? But I kind of used that as an opportunity for my escape, you know? So I started convincing this man. He had me for hours, but I was trying to convince him anyway. And I convinced him, of course, he threatened me, well, you're not going to, you know, you're lying. You just want to get out of here. But I convinced and convinced and convinced him. And he let me go in the middle of the street somewhere. And I remember going home. I was kind of tattered. My clothes was dirty. I was really a mess. And I remember just going back home. So my story started there. And then understanding, I think, you know, we grew up in these areas, these cultures. And until something happens, then you don't realize how serious the culture is, how people really view things and how things really affect you. So I remember going home and my grandmother was so mad because I had missed curfew. And when I got in, she says to me, go back wherever you're coming from. And I kind of fell on the floor just screaming. And I said to her, I was just raped. I didn't get much of a reaction from her. And I remember just hitting the floor, screaming, and hugging the floor because, you know, you go through that, you just want somebody to hold you. But she didn't, I think she was in shock. She just didn't know how to respond to me in any way. And she says to me, your father's on the way, right? So my father comes, he comes into the door mad because of course my grandmother told him I was late, you know, it was wee hours in the morning. And he comes in, sees me in the state that I was and tells me, hey, let's go, we're going to the police station. So I go to the police station and do a rape kit. And it was just horrible reliving it again. I just left it, you know, a couple hours ago. I had to write it down. I had to take, you know, a rape kit. I had to get, you know, they give you the pill so you don't get pregnant. The whole process I had to relive. I remember looking at my dad and he was crying. But I know there, it's this culture in a sense sometimes where men don't share their feelings. You don't see them cry, you know, kind of thing. So he didn't know I saw, but I saw him. After that happened, you know, I think for my dad, he felt he was protecting me and didn't want me to repeat it because he saw how horrible I was in the moment. You know, because I mean, after the incident, I got on a bus barefooted. I was just in a trance. I was really nasty, dirty. I just didn't care. You know, so I guess when he saw how I looked, he was like, look, I don't want you to talk about it anymore, you know, but not realizing or not even knowing I had already had, you know, trauma happened with molestation, you know, because I had kept it so well. So by the time I get back home, you know, I just kind of secluded myself. I attempted suicide that night after getting in the house. And for years, I thought I had dealt with this. You know, I got out of high school, moved overseas. I think I left right after graduation at 16. For the rest of the couple of months I was in school, I flunked CXC. I don't know how much you guys know about those. That's the Caribbean exams that they give in high school. Flunked that most of my classes that didn't do so well. So it kind of traveled with me. And I kept it again under wraps, you know, kind of silently with the pain. And I remember just never hearing back from the police, never hearing anything other than this happened before. They don't know who it is, but they're looking for this person because they've had, you know, incidents where people have gone missing and these women are raped and killed. And somehow I come back, you know. But I think after that, you know, going into my 20s, it was such a rough time just to come out of it and to realize the pain that I was carrying. And then to finally, you know, I had just a breakthrough at one point when I realized I didn't even didn't want to talk to nobody. I wanted to, you know, I got into college. I was real scared. I said, started to self-sabotage my, you know, within the space of 16 to 20 something, suicide was about, I attempted it like 5 times in between that. And I don't think my family even saw or even understood what was happening. So it was really just a lot going on for me. And I remember one night I decided, I just was in college and I decided, hey, maybe I should try to figure this out. Maybe I should just say, okay, I'm going to try sex again. This was after 16, I was like 21 years later. And I tried, I liked this guy. And well, by the time we tried it, I felt like I was reliving my rape all over again. So I came home and as if I'm an addict, you know, I started to scratch and, you know, just go crazy somewhat. And I looked up and I was like, God, I can't do this anymore. I got to get some help. I got to figure something out. God, I need your help, you know, kind of thing. And I was, I remember screaming out to God, like, I need help. What is going on with me? And I decided, let me find some therapy. Let me find some help. And kind of that is where my journey began from. My healing started, you know, when I realized what was going on with me, because I attempted suicide again that time. And I couldn't push the knife further than what I, where it was going. Saw some blood, but not much else. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, God, you're not allowing me to kill myself. So what are we doing? You know, what is happening? Why am I still here? You know, I think it's time for me to go, because, you know, when I look at the trajectory of the pain over years from 9 till then, that was in my 20s. That was years of carrying this thing. So for me, you know, that is kind of my journey to it. Started some treatment, started help, started getting, you know, someone to talk to, and the process for me began. And, you know, relationships became real tough for me. By the time I hit a certain age, I at one point got to a place where I took years to myself, you know, just without dating, kind of figuring out who I was, starting to love me. It was a process. So today what I do is I pour into these women, you know, and people who've been through this kind of thing, because I know what it feels like to not even want to survive. You don't want to be here. So it's kind of heavy, you know. And I kind of just, you know, coach people into understanding your process is going to take some time. It's going to take you recognizing it. It's going to take you admitting it. It's going to take you facing it and then going back through it for you to find a way to heal it. And I think a lot of times most people don't get to that spot because they're still in the pain of it. You know, they're scared to even go back to it, to try to figure out how to get out of it. So, you know, so I do a lot of different things now with different nonprofits, different things from education to this kind of stuff, healing, trauma, you know, trying to help people find themselves again, and, you know, get to that place where they can stand on their own 2 feet, you know, whatever career they want, whatever they want to do. That's kind of what I do, you know, kind of speaking to their lives. Okay, I have this story. And if I can come out of this thing and I can actually have a life and a career and come out here and still give back and pour into people, my whole thing is I've done it. You can do it. You know, so that's more or less my story in a nutshell.
My God. In a nutshell. Wow.
Oh my God.
That is a massive, massive story, Sandra.
That's the story, you know.
I just take my hat off to you to be able to face it, because I understand that you say, like, people are scared to, but to be able to face it but then be there for all these other people and to show up for them, that's absolutely incredible.
You know, it's, you know, I think my biggest thing is when you get to the place where you understand what it is, and I always tell people, what I realized over the years, ladies, was the biggest thing I realized was I was never gone. You know, I was still there. I was simply behind all of this stuff, hidden. You know, who I was initially is just there. She's just waiting to come back. You know, she's just hidden behind that pain. And if you can move it out of the way, you'll start to, you know, start to deal with it, which is the hard part for a lot of people. Once you start facing it, dealing with it, you start to take your power back. And once you take it back and you can find that peace of mind, it's everything. I mean, it's everything. See, I tell folk, healing is continual. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, because with people like myself who've gone through these things, there's triggers. There's things that you see. There's, you know, things that's said to you, how you're touched. Even going back into intimacy is hard. You know, the whole process is hard. But the idea that you can't is what I try to have them realize. You can't do it. It's a process. It takes time. And none of this for me happened over years. You know, like I said, I carried that thing into my 20s. I'm 39, you know, so it took me time to get to this space. But what I try to show them is there is a way to get to that space. If you remain consistent, if you remain open to understanding, you may fall back, because there are going to be moments where you're going to still feel it, you know, and you're going to still cry, and you're going to still, you know, when I wrote my book, I cried. My book Restored, I cried, because when I looked at what God has taken me from the beginning of what I dealt with to what I am today, you know, I never thought I would write that thing, but I did, you know, and that was kind of a big part of my healing, actually saying it, reliving it, because every time you go through it, you're reliving it, you know, you're writing it, you're literally telling everybody what happened every time you speak, but every time you do it, you take a piece of you back. And you realize, you know, that big thing, as if, you know how they tell you you're an addict or something, the first step is to admit it. The first step is to acknowledge that it is what it is. And you have a problem and you got to go deal with it. That's one of the first steps to trauma. I have been through this thing. I'm going to have to face it. You know, so a lot of the things that we do, I'm also an international chaplain. So I pour into people, you know, the understanding that, listen, it's going to get better. You know, it's tough. And I mean, make no mistake, it is very hard to do. But once you put the process in play and you stay on course, you're going to get to a place where you can actually stand up and be happy with who you are, happy where you feel, you know, where you exist, and not just, you know, a lot of us exist and we don't live. You know what I'm saying? So my idea is, let's not exist. Let's actually live, you know, and enjoy our lives. So that's kind of where my whole thing comes from. And I've just kind of spread my hands into different places where I can actually reach these women and these children, not just here, but worldwide. So, you know, that's the point of me doing my international chaplaincy, the point of me, you know, becoming a global peace ambassador. It's kind of spreading the thing everywhere, because this thing is everywhere. You know, and now it's not just women, it's also boys, it's men, you know, and they're dealing with it. And even for them, it's tougher to speak about, you know, because, oh, a man doesn't, you know, it's normally a female that's raped, you know, that's the general that we grew up around. So it's kind of just expanding that for people to understand there's someone who actually understands you. You know, there's someone who actually hears you. She's been there. She's experienced it. I remember writing my book and trying to get someone to help me market. And I remember the guy saying something to me, and he says, just to do a press release for me, he says, you know, I think a lot of journalists don't want to hear from the victim. They want to hear from a therapist. And I'm like, what is a therapist going to tell you about my experience? She doesn't know what I feel like. You know, you've never experienced it. It's one thing to tell me how to deal with it, because they're trained to, you know, deal with certain kind of behaviors, but to tell me how I lived it, I don't think she can understand that, unless she's been raped herself, you know, unless you've been violated consistently. You know, for me, the violation didn't just happen with those two instances. 9 was the molestation, 16 was the rape. But by the time I got to overseas, I had men married to people in my family that were coming on to me. I woke up one morning, someone jerking off over my head. I mean, these are things that are consistent with a lot of us. People who go through what I go through, you feel like everywhere I go, someone's violating me, you know? So that feeling, unless you know it, it's hard to explain, you know? So for me, it's just reaching out to everybody, and women, men, anyone willing to open up and talk about this thing and kind of dig deep into finding the way to heal it. That's kind of my why, you know? I didn't get no help. Police never came back. I never saw a therapist until I went seeking one. You know, because of how I was raised, it happened. You're going to be all right. You know, kind of thing. We're not all right. You know, we're falling apart. And if I didn't figure out a way to get myself some help, I maybe wouldn't have been here to have a conversation, because it's something that we have to talk about. So for me, it's kind of tearing off the veil of this whole, okay, just hold it to yourself and don't speak kind of thing. That thing does not work for anybody who's been through it. So that's kind of my why. That's my why.
What a beautiful, you know what I mean? Like, you're just so passionate. And even the way you tell your story, you have just said it with such a beautiful word.
You can tell you reclaimed you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that comes across, you know, like no one can say that without really, like, you feel it.
You know, I think for me also, having my children were huge. You know, when I met my, I remember meeting my first, my ex-husband, and at that point, you know, you think you're healed, you think you've done, you know, dealt with a lot of it. I was, you know, healing, but there were still parts that I never addressed. And like I said, as you go through the process, you realize so many different pieces of you. And it's, you know, how they say you're an onion. There's a couple different things to peel back, you know. And I think when I had my daughter initially, I was mad because, and I remember saying this to her, I said, I was so angry because I felt like I had so much I did not do yet. There was so much, how could I help you raise you when I still had so much healing to do? But I look today at it and I'm like, God, I thank you, because I had a reason to want to live any, you know, longer than I wanted to really live. So there's so many different things, you know, that can actually, that actually kind of guided, pushed it, helped me, like, okay, you got to figure this out. It's no whether or not you're going to, it's a, I have to kind of thing. And you get to that place. It's like a woman who's been through domestic violence, as much as we're in that season right now, you know, there, that's the topic of October, as well as breast cancer. And the UN is going into it for next month also. You know, it's that mindset of, look, I'm tired. You know, I'm tired. And this can't continue kind of thing. So that's where I got to. I got to fix this. And I can't have this going over into my daughter and into my son. So I had to figure it out. You know, for me, I had to figure it out. So it is hard now when you find someone who's still trying to figure out whether or not they want to figure it out. You know, it's hard convincing them to try, because it takes a while to do that. It takes a while. They have to want to. They really have to want to. And even that, sometimes they don't even realize they're still carrying it. They're still using it. It's still bothering them, you know? So, but my hope is to at least be a light to somebody. So I kind of take that piece of it real serious, because I wish someone was there for me, you know, the way I want to be there for somebody else. You know, I always say to people, and me adding law school is honestly just a caveat, the last piece to the puzzle for me, because not just helping them emotionally, or, you know, I'm also a trained in informal trauma-informed care. And at the end of the day with that, helping them in all these other ways, for me, never getting justice is another way, you know? So law school for me is kind of the cap. We're going to help you figure out your emotions, but I'm going to nail the son of a gun who did this, you know? So that's where I am now, you know, getting ready for that. And I'm excited about what it's going to do. I'm excited about the opportunities to, you know, use whatever platform that I have and whatever influence I can to kind of just bring light to it. You know, it's a serious conversation, and it's a conversation that too many people I've known over the years kind of trying to brush it, you know, under the rug and feel the victims are fine. We're not fine. We never are, you know.
So it's so true, isn't it? Like that sweeping it under the rug. Like how do you feel is the best way that we can start tackling these stigmas? And, you know, is it educating? Is it bringing it into school? Like how can we, as an everyday mother or, you know, people who are just in the community, how can we help change that stigma?
You know, there's so many different things that I thought would have helped. And I'm gonna start with from my experience. And I think one of the bigger ones was, I didn't have much conversation with my parents growing up. You know, I grew up in the 80s. So conversation back then, you know, if you guys are around my age, you know, it's not much. Some parents don't necessarily open up and have these conversations with their children. You know, they'll tell you what not to do and where not to go and how not to behave, right? But to say to you, hey, if someone touches your parts, tell me, you know, or sometimes you don't even feel safe enough to have that conversation with them. So you try to, I always tell parents, there's no conversation I don't have with my children anymore. I've kind of swished that away because I need them to know this is a safe space. They can tell me anything and I don't care who it is that did it. If they tell me, I'm going to have, you know, I got to go into it and dig in. That's one way. And like you said, education is huge. You know, we got to remove, you know, that glass eye that's over this, like, okay, it's happening. Because now if we look at the generation we're in and the seasons we're in, trafficking now is a huge deal. You know, they're trafficking girls and women and boys now like crazy. So that's practically abduction, you know, and for most of those, they don't come back. So educating them on every single ounce of these things, what can happen when someone abducts you, if you're in a space, what happens if you have been abducted, what happens, you know, and what to do if someone's trying to rape you, what to do if someone does rape you, where do you go? You know, you got to tell them what these resources are, where they go, where can they be safe, what hotlines to call, you know. We got to just take the Band-Aid off and say, listen, this conversation has to happen. The same way we talk about everything else from politics all the way down, we can talk about, you know, murders and crime. I mean, this is something that we have to put in the face of everybody. And all these children have to understand what happens when this happens, you know, what kind of signs to look out for. So these are the things that I go around speaking about, you know, what signs to look for when they're on the streets, what not to say, what to do, you know, and you just got to prepare them. There's no not preparing your child anymore for a lot of things, not in the world that we live in. And especially with a place where they can just go online and find these perverts. You see what I'm saying? Now you go into TikTok. They're having rooms and conversations. These grown men are sending messages to children. You know, they're sending messages looking for them to have a conversation with them. I think it was ABC, one of those channels who had this show on a while ago, where it was a grown man, or he had a little girl pretend to be, you know, and he was the one talking to the guys, but he had a little girl there and they thought it was a little girl. They would try to come and meet this little girl to have sex with her. And when they would go, they would catch these guys and arrest them. You know, it's that crazy now. They're having conversations with them in these chat rooms. And online, the exposure is ridiculous. They can reach your children now much easier than they used to be able to. You know, so, you know, you got people driving past kids and grabbing them, just putting them into cars. I had a video recently I had to post just to warn women. They're now putting stuff under your car. They're putting zip ties on the, you know, on the handlebars of your car. And when they do that, they're saying, this is an easy catch. She's easy. That means they've been following you for a while and they can tell that you're easy to capture. You know, they're doing all kinds of things now. So I don't think there's any room anymore for us to not tell our children what's going on, or for us to not make them aware of these predators and what the possibilities are. And we got to figure out better laws when it comes to rape, molestation, you know, all of these things. The laws have to be changed. They got to be more, you know, more restrictive. They got to be able to do something. So all of it. And hopefully, you know, I'm pushing all the way to judgeship, you know, in the next couple, maybe by the time I'm 50, who knows, but I'm pushing to, you know, cause my whole hope is, you know, valuing and lobbying for some laws to change, you know, and having the conversations in every country, wherever I can, I'm welcome to have the conversation, you know, about these issues, because it is vital to have them. You cannot have them anymore. We just can't. We're not in the season to think that we're not going to have these things. We're not going to educate people. We're not going to talk to parents about how to also, which I wish someone had told my parents how to do, how to deal with a child if they've been through trauma, how to react to them, you know, how to show them that you're there. You know, I felt like no one was there for me because they didn't know how to react to me. Yeah. Like I said, my grandmother said, go back where you're coming from. I took that to heart. For years, I was mad at her. For years, when she passed away, it hurt. But I was so mad at her because where I'm coming from is not where you want to tell me to go back to. You know, in my mind, what did you just say to me? Mm. It's like you're telling me to go back there. And I took it that way because I felt like I've lived in this place and stuff have happened and no one saw anything. Like, how can you not see? How can y'all not pay attention? You know, so I tell parents, you need to pay attention to your children. You got to pay attention to what you're doing. And as much as some of them don't like you snooping into what they're looking at, TikTok, certain things, it's something we got to do. So we got to have some kind of rein on what's going on with that. We can't just give them a computer and a tablet and say, hey, just go ahead with it. No, we don't know what's popping up. You know, there's so many things going on. So for me, I think changing it begins in our homes with our kids, our families, and then we got to take it out there to the government. We got to take it out to the Senate, to Supreme Court. We got to try to change laws. We got to change whatever is going on right now. Everything that's set up has to be upturned and creating something and some system and some resource for these women. And I mean, they do have here in the U.S. there's, you know, hotlines for domestic violence and other things, but a lot of women don't even know how to get to these places. They don't know where they are. Information isn't exchanged as well in between. You know, sometimes they're calling other people that they know, family and friends, to help them. They're not calling the resource first, you know. So educating them on how to and what to do, workshops and stuff like that, I think it's important to try to do those things. So there's a lot that we can do. There's a lot we can do in different sectors of government, as well as in our homes, in our families, and with everybody.
And I think, you know, even for us parents starting to realize, you know, we need to educate ourselves so that we can educate our kids too, because there's just so many things that you're like, oh, really?
Yeah,
that,
and not that, having your head in the sand and going, oh, I don't really know, so we just won't talk about that.
Yeah, you know? That's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah. Even if you don't know, I mean, I always tell people the biggest resource you have is Google.
Yeah.
It's your biggest resource because you just got to put something in and you'll find so much information on these topics, you know, so many things that's going on. And like I said, you know, sometimes when we're scrolling through Instagram, you know, all of these things, and it was Instagram that I saw that lady put that post up. And I mean, to the point where she's even telling people they're putting anthrax on, you know, where you have your car handle to go into your car. You see a little piece of brown paper, don't touch it, call the cops. They're putting something that's going to knock you out in seconds and they just grab you. You know, they're trying all kinds of things. So, you know, my daughter sometimes goes, mommy, I can't go anywhere by myself. I'm like, no, not these days. I don't take the chances unless I know who's taking you. And, you know, it sounds crazy to them sometimes, but it's a whole different world today, you know. And even look at me. I mean, this happened at 16. I thought I was safe. I thought I was safe there. You know, I thought I was safe. I did not see that thing coming. When I got grabbed and pushed into a car, I did not see that coming. So a lot of times you never see it coming. And, you know, preparing ourselves today, it's just going to take a lot more. You know, we can't do what we used to do anymore. We can't just expect things that, oh, nothing's going to happen. That's like me going into a store and seeing a child behind a mom strolling. That thing drives me crazy. And she's over there at the oranges. Like, how do you leave him back here? It takes them 2 seconds to grab your kid. 2 seconds. So I just want people and parents, we all got to just be aware and we all just got to be willing to have the conversation. I think it begins there. Have the conversation. Let's open up and really talk about it. Because I think, you know what we found out? I was just at a conference with my apostle a couple of weeks ago, not this weekend before. And, you know, you had women in the room and men, they were, you know, they separated both men and women. They had a therapist there, you know, talking about these issues. It's something that even people who are in their 80s, 70s, you had a lady there, she's been carrying something for 40 years. You know, it's heavy stuff, but if there's no place for them to feel comfortable to have the conversation, it's just not going to happen. You know, it's just not going to happen. And not many people do have this conversation because they really fear having it. So for me, having it was a big part of my healing. So I have it. You know, I have it. At this point, I'm like, look, my story is what my story is. For me, I'm just a, you know, it's just a blessing. I'm here to say it. And it's a blessing to me that God allowed me to be in the space to say it so I can impart on somebody else, you know, what it is and what people need and how to treat them. You know, our victims are, they're just people who have gone through something crazy and they just don't know how to react. You know, it changes your psyche. It changes your mental. And I didn't even realize I was depressed for years. I didn't realize it. I didn't. Because no one ever talked about depression then. I was in my teens. Who talked about depression? I just wanted to kill myself. That's all I remember. I never thought it was depression. You know? So it's something we just gotta delve deep into. So there's so much to take out of it, you know?
Oh, hugely, hugely. So we have a, you know, if we have a listener right now who is listening to this and, you know, has just gone, holy shit, you know, I've been through this and starts to look at you or, you know, is listening to you and goes, holy dooly, like I can do something about this, this weight, this carry. Like what sort of words of wisdom do you pass on to that person?
You know, I think the biggest thing I'm going to say is it's not over till it's over. And I say that because, you know, like I said, for me, the realization that, you know, I'm still alive even after all of it was huge. Because for me, the minute you recognize you're still here, then I believe that there's still a lot more you can do. The fact that you woke up today is an opportunity to change anything. You know, so I tell people, I don't care how tough it may seem yesterday, but the fact that you got another day after that, on that day you get up, you got a chance to fix something else. You got a chance to start chiseling away at whatever it is that you're carrying or chiseling away at whatever else, whatever it is you want to create. You know, whatever that dream is, whatever that thing is, whomever you know you are behind all of that, you can still get that back. You just got to be willing to put the work in and you got to make it up in your mind. It's very possible. Process going to be hard. You're going to have to face it. Gonna have to relive it. You're gonna have to look at what you're, whatever it is that you dealt with. You're gonna cry. You're gonna go through that. But nothing, see, they tell you nothing is worth it unless you go through something. You gotta go through something. You know, there's nothing like feeling, you know, that piece of accomplishment afterward. Like, I've actually done this. You know, I've actually done it. So, I mean, I encourage anybody, it doesn't matter how crazy it may seem, because the minute you start to chisel away, you will start to take pieces of you back. And as you take those pieces back, it's starting to build. You start to build that, you know, that foundation of who you are. You're going to start to see yourself again, that mirror. You're going to be able to look behind whatever you think, whatever your mind is telling you are, you know, It's just not the truth. The truth is you are still amazing. You are still that wonderful person you were meant to be. You are still that, if you wanted to be that attorney, you want to be that judge. You want to be that CEO that's making millions of dollars. You're still there. It's just realizing that you're still there. That's the tough part. You know, we go through these things and we don't, oh my God, I'm not coming out. That's not true. You can come out. You just got to fight like hell to come out. You know what I'm saying? You got to fight like hell to come out. And like I said, there's nothing better than really, when you want something, and I always tell people this, and it's something I had to realize, when you want it, you know, a lot of times things happen in our lives and we, you know, when we really want something so bad, we find a way to. We humans have a tendency, we find a way to do it. We find a way to get, if we want to get to that party, we ain't got no clothes, you find a way to find something to wear. We find a way, you know, so with your life, with your plans, with whomever you choose to be. You can, you want it that bad and you want your life back, you find a way to do it. You find out, you go get the help, you go put it together. Even if you don't understand, you know, you handle it. That's what I believe. I don't think any of us are incapable of accomplishing anything once we put our minds to it. Because once we believe it first, you got to believe that you can do this thing. And you got to believe it in such a way that nothing can shift your mind from understanding that I am going to get out of this thing. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to have and live my life how I choose to live it. The pain is not going to control me. The hurt is not going to, I'm not going to carry it. I can't give it any more power. I have to take it back. So that's my encouragement to anybody. Like, you want this thing? Possible. We've already accomplished that part. You want it? Possible. Now, how do we get it? You know, figure out, how do you get it? How do you get your peace back? How do you get you back? Are you determined to get it back? Now, you got that tenacity? Listen, the world is your oyster. And that's just how I see it. You know, and like I said, it is going to take a lot. But and you may have to get up every day. Some days you're going to feel like, well, today is not a good day. Okay, if you need to take a break in between and breathe, do that. I'm not telling you to go, you know, every day you're going to be fine. No, it's a process. You know, like I said, healing is a continual thing. It does not happen overnight. It never will. And especially if you're carrying something like I did for almost 20 years, you know, it's not going to go away overnight. But you're going to learn as you go through your therapy and your help and you find your resources. You're going to learn how to deal with the things that you feel as they come upon you, you know, as they present themselves. You're going to learn to, okay, I'm not thinking that today. I'm not receiving that. You know, I get up sometimes. Those affirmations are everything. I am, you know, this. I'm not that. You know, you got to believe this thing and believe it. What's that phrase I grew up with? Believe it to achieve it. It's very possible. You got to know who you are and actually be okay with receiving who you are. Not question yourself. The minute you start questioning, you're going to start doing this. You're going to be dwindling back and forth. You got to trust that I am going to do this. I may fall, you know, I may have a step backwards today, but okay, step back, breathe, and come back again. Don't give up. Don't let it go. Don't sleep on it. Just move. Keep moving. Keep moving. That's just how I see it.
You are such an inspiration. It just has been so beautiful just to let you speak your truth and be there so much. You have been an absolute blessing to come and talk to us today. Now, other people are going to want to know where to find you. Our listeners are going to want to keep watching your journey and healing and helping. Where can we find you on socials?
Well, Instagram is Coach Sandrian Speaks One. Mm-hmm. My website is www.sandrian, SandrianNeelMoon at Gmail. I'm sorry, .com. Mm-hmm. Sorry, what was that? I said Gmail. So you find me on those two. Facebook. Facebook hasn't allowed me to change my name yet because someone tried to steal it a couple years ago. So Facebook says Sandrian Campbell, and in brackets, you'll see Her Excellency Ambassador, Dr. Sandrian, Dr. Moon. So those are my places. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, just with my name, Sandrian Nelson Moon. You'll find me there. Not hard to find.
And we'll pop
me in the
pool
too. You can find me there.
Yes. We will pop all of those in the show notes as well too, if you guys want to.
Yeah, you can find over there.
Sandrian, that's for sure.
But I'm also, like I told you ladies, I'm also getting ready to do an anthology with people that are looking to write their own story. You know, they want to talk about what they've endured, if they feel they've been to a place where they, you know, they want to pour into somebody else. The anthology is just, I'm looking for 10 people. You're going to write a whole chapter, whatever story or whatever thing you overcame. The title of the book is called Stormproof. So stormproof in the sense that whatever you've endured, you're still here. Whatever you've gone through, you're still here. You know, whatever, it didn't change you, it didn't stop you, it's not holding you back.
You are still here. You are still doing things and you're still moving. You know, you're still accomplishing and you have overcome. So you're stormproof. I think all of us are, regardless of what life brings. You're standing, you're going to be all right. You got another chance to fix it. You got another chance to get over it. So looking for 10 people, that anthology comes out next February, 2023. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a definite bestseller. So for anyone who wants to become a bestselling author, I'll definitely have no issue jumping on here. I'll be on there. We'll have the book is done, you know, with a couple of people, like I said, promotions is a part of the package, TV, radio, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, jump on. You want to talk about your story? You want to encourage somebody else? Kind of what I do. You know, you can jump on that with me. So
awesome. That is absolutely amazing. Yeah. And look, why not share your story as well, right? That is so cool. So cool. Look, thank you so much for being so open, telling your story and just being so kind with the way you spoke. It was just absolutely beautiful and such an honor to have you here with the Your Daily Pass podcast.
Thank you, ladies, so much. I appreciated it.
Wow, wasn't that an epic episode? I love these conversations with. They just make my day, my week, my all the things. Yeah, Fiona, you're right. It's one of those things that we always feel that what is said is what is needed to be said. So I really truly hope that you guys have gotten something as we have out of this episode. And let us know. Get in contact with us. Please. We would love to chat to you.
Yes.
Shoot us a message on our Insta or our Facebook and definitely leave us a review.
Definitely. And guys, look, how you share the love is by actually sharing the love. So make sure you share it with your friends. Let people know, because that's what keeps us doing what we're doing.
Exactly. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye.